Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
So it seems like checking out what your clone is up to has caught on here in Timberdale, because all this week I've been seeing people walking around with their clones, or I guess the clones walking around with their original version.
Yeah, with their originals.
Yeah, maybe the clones taking their original body for a walk.
Which is only nice.
Where are they coming from, though? Where, I mean, it seems like odd.
It does seem rather odd that, I agree with you, Henry, that these people would be coming out of just seemingly nowhere.
Right.
Where were they before?
And the town is so crowded. It's like we've doubled our population overnight.
It's like that. Yeah, it's very similar to that.
It's extremely similar to that. So much so, I would say it is that.
And it's odd.
It's odd. There are no other words to describe it.
And you know what they say, two odds make double the odds. Two odds double the odds. That's what they
double
say.
Or nothing.
That's what they say. Two odds double the odds, all on black. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. In Timberdale.
So I have so many questions as to where everybody went.
Mm-hmm.
Where were they?
Uh-huh.
And where have they been this whole time?
I mean, those probably all have the same answer.
Well, I need at least one answer to one of those. I need someone to answer at least one of those questions.
The problem is I don't know who would be an authority on that.
I saw Tony Sarsaparilla singing a duet with himself on a street corner.
God, I bet that was a treat.
That was a treat. Yeah.
Goodness.
So welcome to Break Room at the Cineplex.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
I'm Kyle McClinsky.
And I'm Greg Basil.
I'm Henry...
Yeah, he is.
Harrison.
Oh. Hey. We watched a movie this week, and we are going to go ahead and review that movie.
Yeah, we are. But first, we really need to talk more about what in the world is going on in this damn town. I mean, we had something that was so sweet and so simple, and then suddenly everything went tits up again. Tatas for now, and all of everybody came back in to the mix. And now all of the where's everyone sleeping these days, huh? Where's everyone sleeping?
At this point, I don't think talking about it anymore is going to help. It's all going to be speculation. I was happy when we had decided to never bring up the clones again, and yet
here we are.
Fate had other plans.
Fate, that fickle mistress, she done played her lute of time? Am I mixing?
Almost certainly. But let's digress to the movie, to the main
shall
thing.
Shall we?
We did watch a movie this week, and we're going to review that movie for you, as you've come to expect when you tune in to Break Room at the Cineplex.
Unless this is your first episode, in which case, get back to the beginning. Some might argue both too much detail whilst simultaneously too little.
You got to strike a balance.
But that's not, it just depends on the movie.
It just depends on the movie.
Every movie's different. And every week we do a different movie.
What kind of a podcast would this be if we reviewed the same movie every week?
Boy, that'd get boring.
Huh.
Yeah. So this week we watched a movie called Boarding Games.
Just kidding. That's a callback.
You done it.
That was
boy.
The last one.
Done it.
I kid.
I swear to goodness. I tell you, that joke right there is the joke that we chose to be the leading lady in our movie, because that was a callback.
The leading
what?
Joke in our movie is a callback?
What are you trying
right?
to say?
No, hold on. So that joke... Okay, here's what my joke was. My joke was saying that your joke was going, we're going to call the joke to tell that it did a good job in audition time and say that it was a callback. And that was
oh,
my
we
joke.
Got a callback?
And that was audition? My joke.
On drugs?
Are you okay?
What is wrong with you?
Hey, all I'm going to say is I was trying to visit my clone again in a different place at a different time. And I may have rifled through their medicine cabinet.
Stop it.
So you thought your clone moved since you last tried to break in last week?
Why would I assume that they didn't?
We'll try to I don't know, keep it in a gear that we can keep up with.
I'll certainly try, but I will not make any promises.
Historically, you haven't, but first time for everything. So let's get to the movie. Who wants to introduce this one this week? I mean, I guess I could. I ask every week, but I guess
this
I could
movie,
be the one.
This movie, hey, here's a little curveball. I'm going to introduce it this time, all right?
Oh.
Mr. Greg Basil.
Greg Basil right here. And I'm going to give you something that you can count on, which is something unexpected.
Is it my fingers?
What?
I count on those. 1, 2, 3. You get it?
It's not your fingers, Henry.
I'm sorry. It wasn't a callback. I'm sorry. I'll try to be less original in the future.
That joke didn't do well in its audition.
No, it did not make it past the first round of cuts. I'm sorry to say. Greg, the title of the movie, please.
The title of the movie is Striking a Chord.
It just kind of...
Striking a Chord.
I think there's going to be more.
Striking a Chord. The Jimi Hendrix story.
Oh no. The unofficial Jimi Hendrix story.
Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing though, not that Jimi Hendrix. This is J-I-M-M-Y H-E-N-D-I-C-K-S.
Hendrix.
No, I'm sorry, there's an R in there.
Okay.
But we don't know where. Is this the DVD case over here?
Yeah, it looks
like
it.
Is this the one? This is Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said Hendrix. Hendrix?
Yeah, like the gym.
The R was in there. You were right, but yeah.
Oh, before that. Sorry. I have R dyslexia.
Well, that must be very hard for you.
It is. It is very hard. Herney.
So what the fuck was the title of this movie?
Striking a Chord. The Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi?
The Jimi Hendrix
story.
Striking a Chord, the Jimi Hendrix story.
Yes. This story is about a high school kid, Jimi Hendrix, who is not the most popular kid in school. But he's decided, he's seen all those rock and roll, you know, he's a big fan of the rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always idolized those, you know, the lead singers of these bands that have all these fans that love them and adore them, and he's decided, damn it, he's going to start his own rock band.
Yeah, he's going to start his own rock band. He's seen all the popularity you can get if you play guitar. So he one day he picks up a guitar and he picks up a chord book, walks out of the music store, straight up steals these two items.
That's the opening scene of the film.
That's the opening scene of the film. He runs off and he runs home. So in the process of learning the guitar, Jimi finds out that, oh, he is not right-handed. He is left-handed. So he learns all the chords backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You understand. Very much like a similar guitarist of a similar name. But the difference is that Jimi Hendrix played it with the strings facing himself. Backwards and upside down.
Yes, he flipped the guitar completely backwards.
Absolutely backwards.
And he learned to play it with mittens on.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't use any of his fingers.
No, he moves his hand so quickly up and down the fretboard that he just puts he puts pressure wherever the string needs to be strum.
So we kind of get this I guess montage of him teaching himself how to play this guitar in this way that makes it unnecessarily difficult.
Very weird. Very weird.
During the opening credits of this film. Because I think it was like they wanted us to see, here's Jimi, he's a kid who stole a guitar and now he's trying to learn it. And look, he's got the motivation, he's got the dedication, the discipline to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the end of the opening credits, he is shredding.
He is shredding. And it's really cool. The the visuals of him playing guitar, because he's kind of holding the guitar away from him a little bit, and he's got his left hand moving along the strings in between the body of the guitar and his body, like he's just rubbing it,
rubbing the guitar,
and then his right hand is just constantly moving up and down, like it's a blur. It's a blur of his hand just moving up and down, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But there he is at the end of the opening credits, and he's at a talent show in his high school.
Yeah, things are moving right along. He's at the talent show performing for his classmates.
Mm-hmm. And he is playing a good song that sounds great. And he's playing it. And the crowd's loving it. They're clapping their hands. They're jumping up and down.
they're all clapping along. I mean, they start a crowd wave. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring out the big parachute. I mean, they're having a ball right now. I mean,
yeah,
all of his they're classmates having a ball. Are loving They've this. Got beach balls. They're punching them around. They're batting them back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Like 6 or 7 minutes into this film, and Ginny has accomplished his main goal of becoming popular through guitar. He's already a skilled guitarist. He's played the talent show, which I would expect would come some point in the third act. But his main arc is done.
Which moves us on to the next
the
arc.
Second act. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where
the second
he,
act
he becomes
just after
washed
the opening.
Up.
The opening credits.
Right. The first act is about 7 minutes long, and then the second act is about the rest of the film.
Yeah. There's no third act to this movie.
No.
There are two acts.
This is that classic two-act structure.
Mm-hmm. So we get a title card that says Act Two, and then it opens on him in this apartment, and he's in a beanbag chair. He's eating potato chips off of his stomach. He's let himself go a little bit. I mean,
this is years this later. Is
years
obviously,
later.
Well after high school. You know, the prime of his life is gone. He
we
peaked
saw
in
it.
High school,
yeah.
With the mittens, and so he's brushing potato chips off, and he's watching this MTV, and he sees like videos of these guys shredding on guitar, and he glances up at his guitar up on the wall.
It's covered in dust.
Mm-hmm. Covered
there's
in dust.
There's a pair of mittens that have been stapled to the wall next to them. They're all frayed and torn up, you know, from years of use, but now have not been touched in mm-hmm. a long time.
Now the only thing that touches them is the dust that gathers there.
Mm. Poetic.
Yeah, and that's what he says, though. He says that. He looks at them, and he chews a Frito-Lay from his stomach, and he just says out loud, "Now the only thing that touches them is the dust that sits there."
And on the television show, after they finish this montage of rockers, one of the hosts of this whatever show this is like, "And now we're going to talk about artists we haven't seen in a while. Where are they now? Number
Why haven't
one,
we seen them?
Ginny Herndix.
And where is he?
Yeah.
We want to know.
Where is he? Where is he now?
If you know where Ginny Herndix is, call this number at the bottom of the screen.
There will not be a cash reward.
There's a black and white photo of him that says missing underneath it.
Mm-hmm. A cool shot of him. He's got that vest on. He's got kind of like a frilly shirt. He's got a bandana.
Mm.
He's got bell bottom pants. And he's holding the guitar in his
signature way.
Signature way. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, I know where he is." And so he grabs his phone and he dials the number and he calls, and on the other end he hears the radio guy's or the MTV guy's voice.
Yeah, this is a live show.
It's a live taping. It's a
He's picking up on the air. And he says, "We got our first caller. Who is this?
Do you know where Ginny is?
We're looking for Ginny Herndix."
And on the other side, Ginny says, "Long time viewer, first time caller. I love what you do on the show. It really, really makes me feel good. watching your show. Thank you very much, your program. I'm Jenny Herndix.
And the host goes silent.
Yeah, like hand hovering over a soundboard. What?
What did you say?
What did you just say?
And we get this smash cut of like a helicopter taking off of a helipad, the camera crews rushing into his apartment, and you know, there's this big uproar of just like, wow, we found Ginny Herndix, we found him, and they rush him off to the studio.
Yeah, they rush him off to
get him
studio.
Prepared for an interview.
There's somebody
he's going
there's
on
somebody,
the air tonight.
Yeah, they're like, we need to get you going. So there's somebody who's combing his hair. There's somebody putting a jacket onto him, and they're just talking at him. They're talking at him, doing his makeup real quick as they're walking. And like, okay, once you get to the studio, Johnny Carson is going to be introducing you. Okay, you're going on the Johnny Carson show, and he's going to introduce you. He's gonna maybe say some jokes with you, banter back and forth. Just smile and wave, and then you'll get the light cue, and you're going to play some songs. Okay, Jenny, it's been years since you've been seen. So are you doing okay? How do you feel, Jenny? And Jenny's like, no, this doesn't feel right. I need my manager. I need my manager. Where's my manager? Where's Carlos?
They launch another segment on MTV. He says, and now for more people that we're looking for, we're looking for Ginny Herndix's manager, Carlos. Have you seen him?
Carlos Santiago was Ginny's manager since he was in high school. Once Ginny was found in just after high school, Carlos came in and decided to plant that seed.
Oh, we're getting a caller. We got our first caller.
Hello? You're on the air. And on the
Do
other
you
side,
know where Carlos is?
And on the other line, you hear,
I... Sorry, this is so crazy. I wasn't expecting to get on the air.
Long-time viewer, first-time caller. I love what you do on the program. It's very great. Warms my heart to see these musicians and everything. I've seen Carlos because I am Carlos.
Smash cut. We cut to the green room at the Johnny Carson show. There's Ginny sitting there, he's got his hair all combed out nice. He's still got kind of 5 o'clock shadow going on, but it's been trimmed up and made a little cleaner. And the door swings open, and there's Carlos, his manager.
Carlos walks in, and he's like, "Ginny, I can't believe it. It's been years. I thought you quit the game. I thought you quit the game years ago.
No one's heard from you in years."
Nobody's heard. Are you doing okay? What's going on, man? You're back. You're back. This is crazy.
You had that one great album that everyone said it topped all the charts, and then you never followed up. You never called me back. I called you and I said, let's do another album. How about it? And you never returned the call, and so I left it alone.
I assumed you were going through some stuff and that you needed time. I guess you've gone through your stuff or something. What's been happening?
And Ginny gets super cryptic. I mean, he starts describing the dust that were on his gloves, in his house, and the fact that nobody's touched them, and he's like, Carlos is kind of taken aback. He's like, kind of sounds like you're still going through some stuff. Are you all right, man? I mean, I don't want to pry or anything. I don't want to, you know.
Have you? When was the last time you played?
Ginny gets this faraway look in his eyes, and he starts to describe. He says, "I haven't played since that day. You know the one. That day.
Since the festival.
It's time for a flashback, boys."
And so we get this big white flash on the screen.
That's what Ginny says. Ginny looks straight into the camera and says, it's time for a flashback, boys.
And a title card comes on the screen that says Act 1. And we open on him during the festival. He's furiously stroking his guitar with his mittened hands. His guitar is facing towards him and upside down and backwards. And he's just rubbing it and it's just shredding. Everybody in the crowd is just going wild. They are nuts for Ginny. And there's he's got bandmates. There's a drummer and a bassist, and they're just keeping tempo along, and they're all grooving and smiling at each other, having the best time of their life.
You can tell they are just loving it.
And there's beach ball. People are punching beach balls around.
There's
and,
a parachute going.
It's up just and down. Like the they're doing a show. Wave. It's just like the talent show in the prologue, but now, I mean, thousands and thousands of people.
Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of people. And they finish the song that we come in on, and the crowd's going nuts, and Jenny's like, thank you very much, thank you. And now I'd like to play a little something for you just to show how I feel about what's going on in this country. And Jenny starts playing America the Beautiful. Well, I mean, we've all heard the version of this song before. It's very iconic. Yeah, yes. Iconic.
This is a real person. Did we not mention that this is a real person that we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Not to be confused with another real person, Jimi Hendrix. Don't confuse the two.
Iconic. I don't know how you could.
Not taking away anything from Jimi Hendrix either. Great guy. Did a lot. Learned to play upside down. Played at Woodstock, great stuff. Not to be confused with Jenny Hendrix. Played his guitar upside down and backwards, and played at the other festival. He played at the festival.
Stockwood.
It was Stockwood.
But unlike Jimi Hendrix's rendition of Star Spangled Banner. The audience fucking turns on Jenny Hendrix. Mm-hmm. They don't appreciate this.
Like, they are all in full military uniforms.
Everyone.
That's when we noticed this for the first time.
Well, like, oh, this is a music festival just for military government officials.
And so
it's like the opposite.
They stop punching the beach balls.
Mm-hmm. They stop punching the beach balls. They all ceremoniously fold up the parachute.
They don't let it touch the ground, though.
They let the wave die out.
And they rush the stage in like a fucking militia. Mm-hmm. Like, they are just all guns a-blazing for Jenny. Mm-hmm. And Jenny, he runs. He drops what he's doing and he runs. He takes his mittens, he takes his guitar, and he's like, I'm getting out of here. And his drummer gets shot in the head. His bassist is just tackled to the ground and ripped apart.
Apart. Like, these government officials and army people are ripping these bandmates
they
asunder.
They love this country so much that
they've gone
would
cannibalistic.
Kill somebody for even attempting to play a song about this country.
How patriotic are you? Because I doubt you're cannibal patriotic. Do you love this country so much that you would eat a drummer?
None of us know until we're in that situation.
That's true. We can speculate
all day.
Well, I gotta say, my favorite part of the meat is the drumstick.
Oh, God. That's how patriotic you are.
So we zoom back
Jenny
out.
So Jenny goes into hiding, right? We get this echoing and this flashing white light as we zoom back into present day.
Zoom back out of like his eye as they transition back into the green room, and he's just got this far off stare. I mean, he went into this flashback so enthusiastically. But he's really revisiting a horribly traumatic incident.
And so he's still spiking the camera. He looks straight at the lens. He says, "What a flashback, boys!" And then he turns back to Carlos, and Carlos says, "Hey, man, are you good? Like, you spaced out there for a while.
He
are you
said,
still thinking
here
about
comes the flashback, yeah, are boys?" Stared off into space for several minutes, and then said, "Wow, what a flashback, boys!
Are you using again?" Are you using again, Jenny? Jenny, this is Carlos. This is your friend, Carlos, okay? It's me. You can talk to me. I thought we kicked this. I thought you knew that you had a gluten intolerance and you weren't supposed to eat chips off your stomach anymore, Jenny. Have you relapsed? Is this another flashback? Jenny, speak to me.
Jenny shakes himself. He's like, I'm fine. Listen, I know. I no more chips, all right? I know I gotta stop. I know I got a problem. I'm celiac. I shouldn't be doing this. It's
Like, it'd be one thing, Jenny. Jenny, it'd be one thing if you were eating potato chips or corn chips, but you're specifically eating bread chips. You're eating croutons, Jenny. Jenny, you gotta stop it with these croutons, Jenny.
Croutons by the fistful.
And he puts down the bowl of croutons that he was working his way through, and then he's like, no more, all right, I'm done. Cold turkey.
Looked like he had like a Caesar salad in his hands, and he was specifically going just for the croutons.
Like, I mean, to be fair, it's like 50% croutons.
Yeah.
It must have been in his rider, you know, like when you're a star and you come on a show or something, you got a list of things to be in the...
Only green jelly beans, only corn on the cob.
A bowl of croutons with ranch dressing on it.
Several bowls of croutons, please.
So he puts down the bowl and he pushes it away from him, and he gets this look in his eyes. He's like, okay, Carlos, you know, you're right, and I should trust you more. I know you. It wasn't your fault what happened to me that day, and I'm done blaming you for that. And Carlos is like, whoa, man, I didn't know you blame me for that. Jeez.
He's like, oh, and Jenny says, oh, do you not remember that? Spikes the camera again and says, time for another flashback, boys.
And we flash to Carlos booking the gig. Mm. And Jenny's in the background. He's focused on his mittens. But Carlos is shaking hands with a U.S. general, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, Jenny knows lots of patriotic songs. Don't worry. He loves this country. Enough to eat somebody for it. And the general says, that's good. That's real good.
That's what we're looking for.
We feel the same way.
Yeah.
Now, damn, that's patriotism.
Now, one word of warning, though. I wouldn't play any renditions of songs about America.
Patriotic songs
are great, but don't...
Songs for America are on the table. Listen. About America... Frenzy. We're talking a frenzied rage we'll go into.
Now listen, you can play anything. I've heard your music. I like your songs. You could play, what's that one? Next to the Observatory. You can play that one. AK-47.
You can play that one. Attractive Woman.
But don't you go playing no America the Beautiful. Don't you go playing no Good Old Rocky Top. Don't you go playing no Star Spangled Banner. None of this.
None of this. None of this.
And Carlos is like, all right. And he turns over his shoulder and he's like, are you hearing that, Jenny? And Jenny, you know, focused on his mittens, is just like, yeah, whatever.
And Carlos goes over to him and is like, hey, Jenny, are you doing okay right now? Are you doing okay right now, Jenny? Jenny, look at me. Jenny, are you doing okay
right
now, Jenny?
Spit out the crouton. Spit that crouton out of your mouth.
Are you eating croutons again, Jenny? You gotta quit this, Jenny. And he's like, are you eating croutons? And Jenny's like, no, I swear, I'm not eating croutons. And Carlos pulls out the bag from his hands, and he's like, these are fucking bagel chips, Jenny. These are bagel chips.
You filled your mittens with bagel chips. What are you doing? You're smuggling bagel chips now?
Is that what you've come to?
Is that how bad it's gotten, Jenny?
And as he says Jenny, we get this flashback to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And he snaps back. He says, what a flashback, boys. And and Carlos is like, Jenny, listen. Hey, we don't have to do this interview, man. Like, we could just back out now. Listen, we could just go get some coffee or something. Like,
did you say croutons?
No, listen.
Get the croutons out of your mind, Jenny.
He slaps him in the face. Croutons fly out of his mouth. And he's like, listen, you gotta get it together, man. If you eat more bread, you're gonna die. Okay? You don't understand. This is a slippery slope that leads to your demise. And I'm just trying to help you, man. I've always been trying to help you. I didn't know you blamed me for all this. And Jenny, he looks down at his hands. He says, I don't know who I am anymore. His mittens on his hands. He looks down at him. He's like, I don't even feel right to put these on anymore.
His fingers are coming through holes. They're basically gloves now. Fingerless gloves.
Fingerless gloves.
And right at that moment, they get a PA who comes in the room. He says, hey, you're on in 5 minutes. You're on in 5 minutes, all right? And then he closes the door. And they look at each other one last time. He said, Jenny's like, I know what I have to do. I have to do this. I have to face my fears. And I have to eat these croutons before. And he says, no, don't.
And he's like, I have to face my fears. I have to go talk to Johnny Carson about my career.
And the PA comes in and says, four minutes, guys, 4 minutes. And closes the door again.
Thank you, four.
And they're like, well, I don't know. Should we just spend the next 4 minutes in silence? That sounds great. And so we cut out to the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah, cut out to the Johnny Carson show. And Johnny's there. Johnny's there saying, have you heard hear the weird thing about...
how's he sound? All right, no. Here's Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson's right here. Okay. And he comes out.
Watch
and he says,
Johnny Carson get into character as Johnny Carson.
We hear Ed McMahon say, here's Johnny. And then we get a full 2 minutes of Johnny Carson finding his voice.
Have you heard the one about the weird friend of my ex-wife? Jenny Herndix.
And Jenny comes out waving.
And he starts waving to the studio audience, and they're all applauding, and they're like, Jenny. And there's a military guy right in the front row with his arms crossed. He makes eye contact with Jenny, and Jenny's like, ugh. Still mad about it, I guess.
He's got a knife and fork in either hand. And he's ready to fucking eat him.
He stuffs a napkin in his lapel, and in his collar, I mean.
And they lock eyes, and Ginny kind of has this moment where all the sound sort of fades out, and there's sort of this, like, the lights go out behind him, and he's just kind of, like, having this moment of I think, thinking back on his career, most of which we haven't seen. We've just seen that festival. Yeah, I guess he had a successful album before that. And then
everybody loved it.
He's brought back into the present, hearing Johnny being like, "Ginny, whatever I sound like."
Ginny, aren't you gonna tell us a little bit about the song you're gonna play? Huh? You're gonna tell us about the song about the song you're gonna play for us. You know, it's interesting. I was a drummer myself, and
Ginny says nothing. He silently turns. Picks up his guitar, which was placed on a stand on stage. He plugs in the amp, turns it all the way up, puts on his mittens,
faces the guitar away from him,
flips it upside down, and he starts to play America the Beautiful.
Meow, 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 meow.
Audience members start taking out lighters and holding them up. People are crying. Even the military man is his stone faced for a while, but then a tear appears at the corner of his eye, and he sees that Ginny is playing for this country.
And Johnny Carson stands up, and he puts his hands together in prayer, and everybody bows their heads, and they hold their candles at about chest level.
Wow.
And Ginny, he spins his arms around in a windmill, and he does the splits at the end of the song.
Does a backflip.
Into splits. He does a backflip into or splits into he does splits into a backflip. It's
back into splits.
Crazy. For sitting on his ass in a beanbag chair for however long, he's very, very flexible,
very
extremely
athletic.
Active. I mean, yeah. Athletic, yeah. So he does a splits, does a backflip, and then the crowd erupts into uproarious applause. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Carson is saying, you're back, Ginny. Journey Herndix, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to have a career that's going to take him to new heights, higher than he's going to be the best in all the world, and everyone's going to love him. And then we get this flash of white, and we zoom out of Ginny's eye, and he's back in the green room, standing next to Carlos, and he's like, that's how the show's gonna go, Carlos.
And Carlos
that was
says,
a pretty good flash forward,
listen,
boys.
I didn't see any of that. You didn't say any of that to me. All you said was, I'm about to have a flash forward, boys, and then you spaced out. Okay, you're gone. You walked
and
away.
He's already walking away from him, and he pushes through the doors out to go onto stage, and as the doors swing shut, the film slows, goes black and white, and text appears on screen. It mm-hmm. says, Ginny Herndix died on the way to the stage.
Of a gluten overload. He'd eaten too many. His body went into cardiac arrest. He died at the age of 27.
They found 21,000 croutons inside of his body after the autopsy.
And there's a sad piano rendition of America the Beautiful playing underneath this.
Mm-hmm.
And we fade to black.
Fade to black. Like we get so much information about Ginny Herndix in that text. Like he's buried in Tacoma, Washington. Well, actually, that was pretty much it. All it said
tell
was
us
that
where he's
died
buried
at 27,
and how many croutons were found during the autopsy, and that's about it.
And there you go.
Those were the burning questions, weren't they, after mm-hmm. all that?
It was, yeah, it was how like, many croutons did he eat, and where is he buried?
And that was the film.
That was the
that
film.
Was that was striking a chord, the Ginny Herndix story.
Really covering two specific parts of his life, which was the, how he got into music at the beginning,
And
then
his death at the Johnny Carson show.
They covered the show that led to his downfall, too. I think they covered three parts of his life.
Well, that's a good point. It definitely felt like a film that wanted to focus on the tragedy of Ginny Herndix. You know, we didn't see a lot of the highs. We saw all the lows, though.
The brightest stars burn half as long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Twice as...
You burn a candle at both ends, it melts faster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The brightest lights cost the most.
Mm-hmm.
You got to switch out LED bulbs to save on your energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
If you keep a 2-liter bottle of water in your toilet tank, you'll save a little bit of water on your bill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Teach a man to recycle, and he'll recycle. Show a man how to recycle, and he'll do it the rest of his life.
Call your mother once in a while. She's thinking about you.
You know what? Pause this podcast and call your mom.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Why are you listening to this podcast
Stop.
While your mother is just sitting there?
You're just listening to us ramble at this point, just listing stuff. Call your parents. Call your dad. Call your mom. Call your grandma.
You know that
if she's around, or I don't know.
At this point, if you've been listening to this podcast enough, you know that once we stop talking about the movie and in between we start saying goodbye, there's a good 7 minutes where you could be doing something productive.
Something worthwhile rather than listening to whatever bullshit we're about to say.
Are you listening to this podcast for us bantering? No.
You want ratings, and we're going to give them to you.
Are you ready? Here they come.
In 3, 2, 1 out of 10 for me.
6 out of 10.
There you go.
That's what you want.
Now, how is your mother?
How is she? Now that you've unpaused this podcast and called your mom, how is she doing?
Is she doing okay? Did she get the roof fixed? Because you know that you're not comfortable having her fix the roof herself, even though she says she's willing to.
How's that friend that you haven't spoken to in a while?
And if they say pretty good, check in on them again, because they might not be doing so hot.
Dig a little deeper.
Keep digging.
Don't go for surface level connections in your life. We want you to really grab life by the huevos rancheros, all right? And move yourself to another state. Move yourself to another country. Go ahead. Go AWOL.
Go
cut
AWOL.
Everyone out of your
take
life.
Take your destiny.
Stop
take
listening
your
to this
destiny
podcast.
By the carne
Don't
asada
floss your teeth.
And do what
Get
you
all
need
up in your ear
do.
With a Q-tip because you know that's what those things are for. Come on
to it
now.
And take a handle of that burro.
These are the takeaways that I took from this film. I mean, when you watch someone die at 27...
It makes you question everything.
You start to think about your own life.
You start to think, am I really actually grabbing life by the huevos rancheros? Or am I just getting lucky, you know?
If I had my opportunity to be on the Johnny Carson show, would I play an amazing set or would I die on my way to the stage?
I know what I'd answer.
You know what you hope for, but you have to wonder.
Yeah. I hope I die on the way to that stage, but I might just end up playing the set of my life.
Well, if you would like to submit a film for us to review on this podcast, you can do so via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast or on Instagram at breakroom at the Cineplex.
What? Yes. How about that?
And if you're a clone looking for a date, check out Clone Date.
Oh, right.
The new popular app from
Kyle McClone's game. Or if you're like a regular person, you're looking to date a clone.
Yeah, check it out. And to you, dear listener, take some time. Think about your future. What do you want to do?
Go for a walk. Go for a 30-minute walk.
Take out the earbuds. Just listen to the sounds of the city.
Of the train going by.
Yeah. Don't walk too close to the train.
Watch the train go by. Wave at it.
From a distance. Safe
Eat
distance.
Croutons covered in ranch dressing.
Mm-hmm. Play the guitar backwards and upside down.
With mittens on.
Let's all learn from Jenny Herndix.
A true inspiration.
I'll say that movie really struck a chord with me.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Henry.
Worked it in.
Yep. Henry, that joke did so well at that last audition. Fuck wow. The joke Kyle told.
You know what? You got the part.
Oh my We're,
you're
god.
You're skipping the second round entirely.
Oh we don't even need to god. Hear any more jokes. That's the one.
Close
That's
the doors.
The one.
Episode 141 was our finale.
Oh, surprise.
Bye.
Bye forever.